Yeah, a bit louder. Can you hear me now? I'll try and shout.
No, don't shout.
That's if I'm talking to you.
Yeah, it might be like this.
Yeah, okay.
There's another one coming round.
Two.
Sorry.
Good evening, everybody. Hello.
Good evening.
Happy here again.
Okay, shall we start then? Yeah. So I'd like everyone to give John Scott a big round of applause for bringing him along. And
thank you very
much. It is my pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
So, John, you're a film composer, is that correct?
From time to time.
From time to time.
There are spaces in between. Mm.
So, I have watched many films that you've scored, but looking at your IMDb, I probably haven't watched not even a tenth of the films or television and other things that you've scored. I'd like to sort of cover a little bit of your career briefly. We don't have hours, but most importantly to start with, I'd like to know how it all began. How did you become a film composer?
It was never my idea to be a film composer. I really wanted to be a playing musician. And I played the saxophone and the clarinet and the flute. And I was accepted as a player. I played jazz and classical music. I wanted to do everything, but the time came when I had a problem with my jaw, some kind of disease, and I lost a lot of my jaw, which stopped me playing. And rather than leave music, which was my love and my life, I decided to try and start writing music. And I started off, first of all, as an arranger, arranging for the popular artists of the time, mostly pop music. And I was lucky enough to be taken by George Martin, if you know the name, and Ron Richards. They gave me the chance to do backing arrangements for such people as the Hollies. I also worked with the Beatles, Cilla Black, and Tom Jones, the likes of these people. But I really wanted to compose. And bit by bit, I started with industrial films, as they were called, and one of those industrial films was Shellorama. And would you believe that this is how I met Norman Warren? Norman Warren was working for Dimitri de Grunwald, and Dimitri de Grunwald was an established filmmaker. He made such films as The Yellow Rolls Royce, and he was producing Shellorama. During that time, Norman was starting to try and make his own films, and he'd come up with a little film called Fragments, and he came to me and he says, would you be interested in writing some music for my film? And of course I jumped at the chance, because as yet I really was not established as a filmmaker, a film composer. But little by little, I developed an association with Norman, and we went on to do quite a few films together, all of which I enjoyed and I'm proud of. And I'm looking forward to tonight to see if I really should be proud or not. Anyway, bit by bit, I somehow established a reputation and a career as a film composer. And it just went on. I don't know really what to talk about, but I've been very lucky. I've done some nice films, and I've been able to pay the rent most of my life. It's getting a little bit sparse now, and it's a little cold outside. And the other strange thing that's happened, I won't cry, but all the streaming that's taking place and all the rest of it, I used to be able to live on my royalties. Now it's a struggle. In spite of the fact that these films are being shown all the time, because before your royalty arrives in your pocket, it's gone through so many channels. Hello, that's it, that's my life.
So, okay, going back a little bit to working with Norman J. Warren, at the time you were working in England on those films, what other projects were you, what type of projects were you working on in the sort of mid to late 70s? Because you then moved to Hollywood.
Yes, the first feature film that I got the chance to work on was a film produced by Herman Cohen, and it was called A Study in Terror. And I did about three or four films with Herman Cohen. I established the reputation of being a horror film music writer, and I did want to do other things, but that's the way it started. And then went on to do films like The Long Duel. I think that was my first other than horror music film, horror film music. I was really lucky because things did start to flow, and eventually, I can't remember how I got to go to Los Angeles, but I suppose the main reason was that all the decisions as to who is going to write music for what films were still made there, whether it was an English film or not. The decision seemed to be made there, so I made my way over. I can remember. I was writing music for nature films, and one of the films was about wild dogs, and I got hooked up with the person that used to do music for apes. I'm very bad with names, unfortunately. But anyway, it was a series of nature films, and the producers were in Los Angeles, and they took music that I'd written for one film and put it into another film without my permission or knowledge or anything. I got to know about it, and I informed them that they should take the music out unless they let me write the music for the continued series. And they agreed to that. That took me to Hollywood. That was how I ended up in Hollywood.
Mm. And you've continued to live in Los Angeles, but also come back to the UK every year as well?
I have no real rules. Mm. Sometimes I wonder where I live. I enjoy, when I'm here, I miss my friends in Los Angeles. When I'm there, I miss my friends here. I also enjoy very much working in France, and had a long relationship with a person called Jacques Cousteau, who did all the underwater films. So that took me there for, and I established a nice relationship, and so that's my third home.
And out of all the different phases in your career, what periods or what types of films have you enjoyed doing the most? Do you have any particular favorite periods or types of films that you've worked on that you've enjoyed?
I think I would sort out probably three scores that I'm particularly proud of. The first would probably be a film called Antony and Cleopatra, which starred Charlton Heston. And it was the first chance that I got to work with a full symphony orchestra and chorus. Then Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, that's another film that the brief for that film, incidentally, was that the director, Hugh Hudson, wanted a tragedy. And I was in a no-win situation there because Warner Brothers wanted Tarzan a la Walt Disney, you know, swinging from branch to branch to branch. Hugh Hudson wanted a tragedy, which is the way the film was, the way the story was originally conceived, about a person that was born in the jungle, brought up by the apes, finally comes back to what we call civilization, and finds that it's worse than the jungle. So Hugh Hudson wanted a tragedy, and he says, John, I want an operatic score. he gave me a lot of pleasure and a lot of satisfaction that I made enemies out of producers at Warner Brothers in Hollywood.
Mm. Okay, thank you. So I would like to take the opportunity to open this up to questions from all of you. Please.
Today I actually got to like watch Rocket from the Moon. Now that's an AIP movie who was actually obviously like trying to like capitalize on like the fantastic name.
Fantastic Men with their flying machines,
right? Yeah. Mm. However, it's a very AIP movie. Your score is very much like a Les Baxter score, but it's not. It's actually your score. And I was wondering how much that they actually tell you what you need to actually do for a score like that. Because I kept thinking, you know, this could have been great, but it just seemed like it's a really good score, but it just seemed like it was like trying to like do something else. And I was wondering how much like control you have at that stage of like saying you've got this job to do. So you know what. How much is your score? How much is what you've actually been told to do?
Well, I can remember being briefed by the director. The director was a person that
Sharp. Don, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Don Sharp?
Don Sharp, that's right, yes. So he was breathing down my neck most of the time. Apart from that, I don't think I felt restricted. Probably I thought that this is the type of film that you're describing, Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines, etc. and so forth. And I suppose those kind of things do influence you. But I can also tell you another thing about that film, which was very disappointing. And that is that when the film was finally finished, it was shown to the distributors and all the rest of it on a cold, horrible November winter morning at Warner Leicester Square. And all the buyers and all the rest of it came. It was a miserable morning and there wasn't a titter in the audience. And people panicked and they recut that film completely.
Yeah.
And it didn't do it any good.
So, but how much of your score was actually taken out then?
I don't think much. No, it's pretty well stands as it was. I'm sorry.
I love the score.
Any other questions? David?
We were talking about this earlier, but could you tell us more about your work on King Kong Lives from 1986, like how you came to be involved with the film and your experience of working on it?
King Kong 1986.
Yeah. Yeah. King Kong was directed by John Guilleman, and it was the first time that I had worked for John Guilleman. I knew that the previous King Kong film was scored by John Barry, and he had really made an impression with that score. But anyway, John Guilleman briefed me to say that he wanted a four-note score. That's what my theme should be consist of, no more than four notes. And that's quite a task. So I went away and I thought and I worried, and the nice thing about that film was that I was invited to the shooting, which took place in North Carolina, and saw the way they worked, and that also helped inspire me to write, with all the miniature sets, everything in nature, all the ravines and the buildings, and the set was so accurate. It was like when you're in an airplane flying over and you can see all these things, but we were walking over it.
Mm.
Anyway, John Guilleman got to hear the theme, which actually had eight notes, but I convinced him that it was the same four notes played backwards. I enjoyed it. It was a great experience. I don't know what else I can add to that that will help you.
Another question?
I heard some stories about French filmmaking. So my question is, I heard from some French film composers directors choose film music in a different way, and life important. What do you experience of working with French directors?
Well, I've already done one French feature film. Working with Jacques Cousteau on his films, which were documentaries, was just a wonderful experience. And he's the first person that I can remember that said, John, we want a score from you. If I want a John Williams type score, I go to him. So you give us what you want to come up with. That was most encouraging. The other film I can remember doing was a film called Shortcuts. And that had a very minimal score, no problem. The music was recorded in London. We went to Paris, laid it in. I've had no problems of the kind that you're talking about. No. I suppose film directors vary in themselves, whichever company they're in. Some people will give you a hard time, other people will make it easy and have faith in the person they've chosen.
Before we go on to any other audience questions, there's a question that I forgot to ask you earlier, which was about your own personal influences when you were growing up musically. What were the, who were the musicians or the types of music that you loved and incorporated into your own style?
As a child, I liked all classical music. I was afraid of Sibelius. Sibelius used to scare me to death. But classical music in general I liked. My sister liked all the country and western music, and I had to listen to that. And of course, there was a lot of it that I got to like through her.
Why did Sibelius frighten you?
I don't know. I listen to it now. I was a very impressionable little boy, and I listened to music, and it did scare me.
Yeah, I wonder, because my father had a Béla Bartók record, and I always played it too slow by accident. I didn't realize I was playing it at the wrong speed. It was one of the most terrifying things.
Well, Bartók hadn't arrived when I was listening to Sibelius.
Is there music that's more contemporary that you enjoy today?
Well, first of all, in film music, the people that I really worshipped were, I suppose my real favorite was Jerry Goldsmith. I love the work of Jerry Goldsmith. And a few days ago, I saw film Gremlins, which I hadn't seen at the time. Actually, I didn't enjoy it much, and I thought, poor Jerry Goldsmith having to write the music for this film. It went on and on and on and on and on. But I suppose Jerry Goldsmith is, and Alex North, he was the other person that I loved his music. And then, of course, I'm older than some of you here, and I can remember Tionkin. All his Western films. I had the pleasure of playing when I was a playing musician. I played for Tionkin once on a film called 55 Days to Peking. Mm-hmm. And we had a quarrel. I was playing the saxophone. And he stopped the orchestra and says, "Can't you play with a beat?" Looking at me. And I said, "Well, show us the beat and I'll play with you." Because he used to perform for the directors. He was swaying his bottom and all. He really put on a show for our producers. Well, this was at Anvil Studios in Pinewood.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, back over to you. Any other audience questions?
From a creative viewpoint, is there any particular score that you found difficult to work for or to come up with compared to others?
I can remember one film called Black Gold. I can't remember the producers or directors, but this was very, 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 very difficult. And the producers, American producers, was saying to me, you know, it was a film mostly taking place underwater. And they said, John, we want more wobble when you see that jellyfish. And I go back and I tell the orchestra, please do something when you see the jellyfish, etc. But whatever I did didn't suit them. And then, so anyway, they got rid of me. They hired another composer, whom I happened to meet later on in Los Angeles. He said he had the very same problem as me. It happens. I can't think of the moment, but I've had a couple of scores thrown out. But they also say that you haven't arrived as a composer for films until you've had a score thrown out. So I've arrived.
Any other questions?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Thanks for coming along. I've heard your music, your scores are fantastic. Is there one particular score that you wish that you'd written?
So, what
I love science fiction,
yeah,
and horror.
Mm.
I would have liked to have written Star Wars.
Mm.
Sure.
Mm.
sorry, I did want to put you in the deep end.
That was a quick answer, wasn't it?
I can think of $100, I'm sure.
Mm. 2001, would you have given that a go?
Well, that wasn't very nice for the composer.
Mm.
Now, Alex North wrote the original score for 2001, and no one told him that his music had been thrown out and replaced by, you know, if you all remember.
Yes.
And Alex North was invited to the premiere, and there was none of his music in the film.
Mm.
It was a horrible, horrible experience.
Mm. Happens to actors as well, and people take a Faust with Star Wars.
Yeah,
same
but they
story,
usually
yeah.
tell you before,
yeah.
you don't go to the premiere and expect to see yourself, and you're not there.
Okay, so another question.
I've got one other. One of my favorite modern scores of yours is Satan's Slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Is I love the score. It's a great score. But it's very modern, which is very different from like a lot of the stuff which you have been commissioned to do on spec. And I'm just wondering, how much is it of your originality that you put into a score as opposed to like what a studio tells you to do? Do you see what I mean? Yeah.
Well, in the case of Satan's Slave, we've always worked closely together. We've never had a real problem. Satan's Slave was also governed by financial problems. We didn't have money, and we always have to work out how we can, you know, put the musicians to best use. Satan's Slave was quite a small orchestra.
Seven musicians in total.
It sounds a lot longer.
Mm. It sounds like a much bigger
score.
What about the score for Witchcraft? Do you have a big orchestra on that?
That was certainly bigger, yes, yes. And that was a film I also enjoyed.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of the director's name now. Peter Sarsgaard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that was enjoyable, but that was a frightening film for me.
Mm.
It was frightening to work on from the point of view of the subject matter. Because you really get sucked into it.
Mm.
The orchestra for that was probably about 45 musicians.
I've heard a rumour, I'm not very knowledgeable about television these days, but I've heard a rumour that you did some music for SpongeBob.
Oh, right. It is correct, but I didn't write it for SpongeBob. It's like library music that has been used.
Okay. I've never watched SpongeBob, but I know it's very popular, and I thought that was a bit...
Is this doing anything, or am I wasting my time?
Nice
yeah. final questions? Yeah, go on, Jason.
Are you working on any other scores for films or TV shows?
At the moment, I'm not working on any scores for films. I'm finding it very, very, very difficult. The last film, I was telling David, wasn't it? That the problem nowadays is that they're generally, in Los Angeles anyway, between 12 and 18 producers. They all bring money to the film, and they all become creative, and they all want to brief the composer as to what the music should be like. So I have found it horrifying trying to work. I can't work with three directors telling me different things. It was always the director, and he was my guy, but nowadays the producers are telling you, I really cannot work under those circumstances.
Okay, last question. Anyone that hasn't asked a question, burning question inside, and take your opportunity. No? Okay, thank you very much.
Now we're going to talk about what we're aiming for.
So, of course, this is just part one, because we're going to watch in the seminoid in about 5 minutes. We've got a quick pee or, you know, refreshment break. And then we're going to comfort break. Sorry, yes, I can easily take longer. So, going to watch in seminoid in about 5 minutes. And then as soon as the film's finished, we're going to hear a little bit about a new project that Norman J. Warren is involved with. Ishii from director here, who's come here especially to meet everybody and have a quick chat about this. And then we're going to be talking about the construction, the making of In Seminoid, the way that the music was put together, and the story of the film, and any questions that you have after watching it.
In about 10 minutes.
Okay, so just very quick break, and I'll just get the film ready. So literally 5 minutes. And we'll start in 7 minutes.
I'm going to say each